Joining us to talk about last night's game and the Leafs overall, Ian Tulloch, contributor at The Athletic at TO, also host of the Leafs Geeks podcast, and does some analytics for the OHL Steelheads as well. Ian, great to have you on the show. Thanks for being with us. No matter what, how you feel about whether or not the Leafs defense is going to be good enough long term, Ian, this start to the season has everybody electrified because, boy, this team is fun to watch.
I mean, it's fun to watch. You know there are going to be a lot of goals for. You know there are probably going to be a lot of goals against. It's an entertaining brand of hockey to watch. I know that one person who probably isn't too thrilled with it is Mike Babcock. I know we kind of saw the same thing to start last year. They started off against Winnipeg and scored like 7 goals in that game. Their first few games of last year, they scored a lot of goals. And then in November and December, Babcock started to slow things down, and we saw them try to play a bit more of a chip-and-chase style of game. I hope that we don't see as drastic of a change this year, because I do think this team's well-suited to play an up-and-down game. But you have to think that after teams adjust with their defensive structure and Babcock reins the team in a little bit, that they won't be playing these kind of crazy games in November. But, you know, who knows? They got the talent to score a lot of goals.
Looking at Auston Matthews in particular, there's a lot made in the offseason about working with the skills coach Daryl Belfry, and who's working on his strength and his skating and his shot. And you never really know what to make of that sort of news in the offseason. But man, I got to tell you, through at least 4 games, 7 goals, the shot looks incredible. Are you surprised that he's looking even substantially better than he did last year?
I mean, we know from age curves that players from age 20 to 21 will naturally get a lot better. Just as you're developing into your physical prime, naturally, you're going to get a bit stronger. You're going to get a bit bigger. You're going to naturally, the skills that help you on the ice are going to get a little bit better. But when it comes to Auston Matthews, I think we see the drastic improvement in his shot. And he already had a fantastic shot. But what he's able to do is he toe drags it, and then he releases the shot when he's halfway through the toe drag. And I think on the broadcast, they showed that he's able to pull the puck like 6 feet to the right as he's shooting. It's impossible for a defenseman to block that shot. It really changes the angle for the goalie. It makes it harder to track the puck. I think he's got a really good shot at winning the Rocket Richard Trophy this year. It's funny when you see players make a drastic change to their game. You would assume that a player who's already elite at something wouldn't need to make a change to their game. But then I think of someone like LeBron James, who is the best player in the world, and he decided to add a post game, yeah, and it made him even better. And then the next year, he added a 3-point shot because he figured, hey, this is something where I could improve. Auston Matthews had a great shot, but now he has an even better shot. And it's really hard for defensemen to get in front of, and it's really hard for goalies to track. So it's going to be a really fun year, especially seeing them utilize him on the top unit power play more this year. The power play kind of runs through him on the left side. I think he's going to get a lot of shots off, and I think he's going to score a lot of goals. So it's definitely going to be a fun year for him.
Ian Tulloch with us from the Athletic TO. I'm Roger Lajoie, Josh Goldberg here at Sportsnet tonight. Glad you're with us, folks, here on Sportsnet 590, The Fan, the Sportsnet Radio Network. Auston Matthews, 10 points. Morgan Riley, 10 points. Mitch Marner, 8 points. So 3 of the top 4 scorers in the league, Leafs. John Tavares with 6. Small sample size, a cliche. We get all that. But there isn't any question, Ian, this team is depending on the big guns, which is great. And Kapanen getting a chance on the front line is making, I think, you know a team is really, really good when the discussion is no longer about, oh, Matthews and Tavares, they're going to be crazy good. Who's going to benefit the most? And you see a player like Kapanen get some first-line time, and holy smokes, what a difference.
And I think we were begging for this the past couple of years as fans. We were saying that Kapanen had speed, he had some skill, but they'd always used him in a fourth-line role. They always used him in a defensive role. So I think some people tended to assume that he was a bottom-six checker, penalty killer type. But in his draft year, he was considered one of the most offensively talented players, and he actually slipped in the draft. He was pegged to be a top-10 pick. I think he slipped down into the late teens or early 20s. That's where Pittsburgh picked him, and then he was obviously a part of the Kessel trade. But I think we're starting to see, when you play him with some top-6 line mates, you give him a line mate like Auston Matthews, Kapanen can fly into the zone with speed. If he doesn't see something he likes, he can take the puck around the net and then make a pass out into the slot. That's actually the play that he made on the Ron Hainsey goal. He skated the puck all the way around the net, got the puck to Hainsey in the slot, and Hainsey somehow scored 5-hole from the blue line. It was a weird shot, but overall, I've loved Kapanen's game. I hope that after Nylander comes back, we still get to see Kapanen in the top 6 or at least the top 9. I feel like right now you can definitely see that Kadri could use some help on the wings when it comes to getting some scoring touch there.
Yeah.
So if Nylander does come back, I think we're going to assume that it's Marlowe, Matthews, Nylander, Hyman, Tavares, Marner. I'd love to see Kapanen get a chance alongside Kadri, because I feel like he's proven that he has some offensive upside that maybe we didn't realize he had before.
I'm 100% with you. I would love to see that happen. But based on what I've been and we've been hearing from Mike Babcock postgame, he seems to be mentioning Kapanen in the same breath as Zach Hyman, and he wants him to kind of play that sort of style, forecheck, get the puck, which he can do, but I just don't know if that's necessarily the best way to utilize his skill set.
And I'm worried that that quote might be taking a bit out of context, because I think Mike Babcock obviously realizes that Kapanen's a much faster skater than Hyman. Kapanen obviously has a better shot. Kapanen has some better skills. I think what he wants people to learn from Hyman is how good Hyman is without the puck. Hyman's so good at getting into the corners and winning puck battles. We saw it on a couple separate occasions that led to goals for the Leafs the other day, where no other player on the Leafs would have won that race, but Zach Hyman gets in there, uses his body to leverage the opponent, wins the puck battle, gets it to his teammates so they can score. Kapanen's great when he has the puck. Kapanen's great when he's flying up the zone, when he's flying out of the zone, you know, chasing down a puck to maybe get a breakaway. I think what Babcock wants to see is to see him be a bit more aggressive in the corners. He has the speed to be one of the best puck retrieval guys in the league, to be like a Brad Marchand in the corners, a guy who just goes in there and wins every puck battle. I don't think we've seen it to the extent that Mike Babcock would like, and I think that's why he said we want him to play more like Hyman. I don't think he means he wants Kapanen to go to the net, head down, and never make any skilled plays. I think he knows that naturally Kapanen has the skill and the speed to make some of the plays that Hyman could never dream of making. But if he can add that component to the game away from the puck, in the corners, on the back check, when it comes to positional play and defensive awareness, I think that's what he wants him to learn from Hyman. Because we all watch Hyman play. He's not the most skilled guy in the world. He's never going to, you know, score 50 or 60 points in a season. But he does all the little things that coaches love. And honestly, it's hard to blame Babcock for falling in love with a guy like Hyman. Personally, I really like watching him play. He doesn't have that top six upside of some guys like Kapanen or Janssen or Nylander or some of the other guys that we really like.
Well, nice problem to have in the surplus of quality forwards, without question. Let's talk, Ian, a little bit about Tavares, and not just what he brings to the mix, but just having him in the dressing room. And when you invest that much in a free agent, and we knew, you know, listen, Austin Matthews is going to be the linchpin eventually of this team moving forward, and he already is. And Tavares has 6 goals, which is terrific. There's nothing in 4 games, it's terrific. No assists, but 6 goals. But the psychological impact of his signing in the offseason really seems to have made a difference. And I think what it really did, not just for the dressing room, but I think the media, what's the difference between the expectations of the Leafs this year and last year? It's the addition of Tavares. That's what got Vegas picking him as a Stanley Cup favorite. Talk about what it means to have a player of that ilk in your dressing room, never mind the stuff he's going to do on the ice.
And I think when it comes to the off-ice attributes, it's something that's really hard to quantify. We never know how much value it really has. But when you have a team like Toronto, who 3 of their young franchise players are all under the age of 21, you want to give them someone to look up to who has the off-ice habits, who has the, you know, the composure in the media, just someone to look up to, someone who they can learn from day in, day out. And Tavares is a perfect example of a guy who you want to follow. He was the captain of the Islanders for so many years. I think when you look at how much he improved since coming into the league, I think we forget that Tavares actually struggled in his rookie year. He wasn't a very good skater coming into the league. He was obviously a phenomenal talent. He had ridiculous hands. He had a great shot. I think he broke Wayne Gretzky's scoring record in the OHL. But he wasn't a very good skater, and he worked really hard to improve his skating. If we look at 2015, 2016, he was actually a pretty bad defensive player. He followed it up the following season with one of his best defensive seasons ever. He was actually nominated for the Selke. He was in the top 5. He's a guy who just commits to weaknesses in his game and really tries to improve them. And it's hard to, you know, put into any kind of formula. I'm a nerd. I'm an analytics guy. I like trying to quantify this kind of thing. You can't quantify a guy like that. You can't quantify Matthews, Nylander, Marner, what they can learn from someone like Tavares, who's worked so hard to improve his game when it's already at an elite level. So like we talked about earlier with Matthews improving his shot, I think that's just a little aspect. You can say, wow, like Tavares is this good and he's still improving. I want to try to get better. And it's something that we don't really know how to adjust for. We're trying to say, oh man, this is so important to the Leafs. They really added this component. But it definitely matters, especially when you have as many young players as the Leafs. And you can't really have a much better role model if you're someone like Austin Matthews, William Nylander, or Mitch Marner to look up to. So definitely a decent signing this offseason, I would say.
I want to look at the power play, which is converting at 50%, 5 for 10 through the first 4 games. the talent was going to be great and they were going to score goals. But what have you made just stylistically of how that unit is kind of functioning and generating chances and scoring goals?
I'm glad you brought it up because it's actually something I'm going to be writing about on Saturday. It's really interesting because the way that the Marner unit worked last year, they would get the puck to Marner on the right wall and they would have JVR post up by the net so he could pass it to him down low, or he could slap pass it to Kadri. Those were the basic two options. If those didn't work out, he could always pass it back to Riley and then they could start over and try it again. But the two options were really down low to JVR or a slap pass to Kadri. This year, Tavares isn't standing where JVR was standing. JVR would stand off to the right of the net so that Marner would still have the passing option for him. Tavares is standing more in the middle of the crease, if anything, off to the left, not off to the right. And I think we saw it on his goal the other day where Marner skated in and Tavares was there for the tap-in. It worked really well, but what it results in is Marner isn't necessarily the quarterback of the power play that he used to be. The puck doesn't always go through him. It seems that the main option on this unit now is Matthews. They really want to get the puck over to the left side to Matthews off of a cross-ice pass, and then he can either drill it from the top of the circle, bar down, top corner. We've seen him do it multiple times. Or he has the passing option to Tavares down low. And I think that's why they have Tavares standing where he's standing. He's more of a screen for Matthews. He's more of a passing option for Matthews as opposed to just being there for Marner. I find it really interesting. They are shooting at 62% right now when Marner and Matthews are on the ice. So I think we need to realize that obviously this isn't sustainable. Naturally, it's going to regress. I think they need to fix up some of their zone entry problems. They do have a bit of trouble getting into the zone on the power play for a team that's as talented as they are when you look at the five players that are on the ice. So you have to think that they'll clean those aspects up. But I find it really interesting that they're not going for that down low pass to Tavares. They really haven't made one like they did that back with JVR last year. They'd get the puck down low to JVR and try to force havoc from the crease. They're keeping the puck to the outside and trying to get that pass from Marner to Matthews and then let him make the decision. So it's going to be really interesting to see how it sticks, but I think it's going to result in Matthews putting up a ton of points in the power play this year, and so far, so good, right?
Ian Tulloch with us from The Athletic TO. So far, so good for Morgan Riley, who's on pace for a 205-point season, and he'll obliterate all of Bobby Orr's scoring records, so that's good news. But all kidding aside with him, one of the concerns, Ian, right from the start, was, well, the Maple Leafs' defensive core is not quite good enough. You need that stud defenseman. You need that all-world defenseman. And you need someone who can anchor it, and you got to be deeper on the blue line. Okay, fair enough. Morgan Riley is 24. Morgan Riley is in his sixth NHL season. Morgan Riley was the fifth overall pick in the NHL draft. People seem to forget that. He was a number five overall pick as a defenseman. Is it not unrealistic to expect that he can step into a bona fide number one role? He's only going to get better. Defensemen quite often take time to get to that next level. No, he's not going to score 205 points. But if you're a number five overall pick, can you not become a number one defenseman?
And I think if we're talking about number one defenseman, it's really difficult to say, well, what is a number one defenseman? Because Brent Burns won the Norris Trophy when he was going up against second and third lines. He wasn't used on their quote-unquote top pair because Vlasic and Braun was on the top pair. Burns was on the second unit, and then he was on the top unit power play, and he won the Norris. Erik Karlsson, something similar in Ottawa. They weirdly had Dion Phaneuf and Cody Ceci taking top competition so that Erik Karlsson could get some more sheltered minutes. So I think when we're talking about what is a true number one defense, when we get into these arguments over, well, he's not facing tough matchups, or, well, his usage is a bit easier. I mean, Riley's been going up against top competition for the past couple of years, and he's been doing it with some not-so-great defense partners. Ron Hainsey, I don't want to get too into it, but he looks pretty slow and looks like he can't keep up with the role that he's in right now. And when you consider the fact that Riley's done this well while playing with Hainsey, obviously, like you said, he's not going to score 200 points this year, but I don't think that 60 is out of the question, considering how hot the Leafs power play and how good it's going to be this year. I think when you look at some of the best defensemen in the league when it comes to the guys who put up offensive numbers, I think you could put Riley in the discussion with someone like Shane Gostisbehere, with someone like, maybe not as offensively great as Brent Burns, but there's a comparison to be made. If Riley puts up 60 or 65 points this year, hey, he could get some Norris consideration. I think when you look at two-way play, I would personally make the argument that Travis Dermott has the potential to be a better two-way defenseman because I like his play without the puck more than Riley. I find that Riley, in his own end, looks a little bit lost sometimes, and once his team finally gets the puck, that's when you see the skill take off. But I know you were talking about how someone needs to step up and this blue line needs to do better this year. For me, Travis Dermott's had I think he's been the league's best two-way defenseman over the first four games of the regular season. We'll see if he eventually gets moved up the lineup. I think the thing Leafs fans are all waiting for is for Ron Hainsey to eventually make his way to the bottom pairing and Travis Dermott to make his way up to the top four. So that would be really fun. I'd love to see that, because if you thought Morgan Rielly looked good with Ron Hainsey, imagine how good he'd look with Travis Dermott making plays in the offensive zone.
I'm 100% with you. I'd love to see that happen. My fingers are crossed. I'm not holding my breath because I feel like I might die before that happens, but certainly hopeful. The one guy, for as good as Riley's been, Jake Gardner has kind of been a neutral to maybe a soft negative. Are you surprised just at how uneventful a four games it's been for a guy who is divisive in the Leafs community, but often makes more good, solid plays than he does head-scratchingly negative plays?
And I think we all know that Jake Gardner is an extremely polarizing player. Some nights you get good Jake. He scores 3 points. He makes amazing stretch passes for breakaways. He looks like a guy who could win the Norris. Other nights he looks like maybe he shouldn't be an NHL defenseman. You see these crazy swings and performances with him. So I understand why some people aren't the biggest Jake Gardner fan, but yeah, he's had a rough start to the year. Something interesting I heard is the argument that he just had a kid. So maybe he's not getting as much sleep as he's used to, and maybe he's still growing accustomed to the change of pace and the change of sleep patterns. Again, I don't know. I'm not close enough to the situation, but it's definitely something interesting to consider. But I'd agree with you. He hasn't had the hottest start to the year, but over the past 6 or 7 years, he's been consistently someone who, he's on the ice, the Leafs score more goals, and they get more shots and scoring chances than when he's off the ice. So in the aggregate, I trust that everything's going to work itself out with Jake Gardner, but it hasn't been the hottest start to the year for him, unfortunately.
No, that's indeed the case, but it's been a very decent start for just about everybody else, and the Leafs have been wildly entertaining in their first four games, to say the least. Ian Tulloch, a contributor at The Athletic, TO, joining us to chat about it today. Ian, always nice to have you on the show. Thank you.
Thanks for having me, guys. I appreciate it.